Again, Perek Mem Gimel of the Perek Mem Gimel. We have the pasuk pasuk Yud Mem Gimel pasuk Yud. We're up to the Haftorah of Parshas Tetzaveh. These Mem Gimel Perek Mem Gimel Perek Mem Gimel pasuk Yud. That's where we got up to on Friday. Okay, so now we begin here the Haftorah of Parshas Tetzaveh. And here lays out some of the fundamentals. These next psukim really are some very powerful psukim. And then if we get to I have a diagram with the mizbeach. And if we'll get there, we'll see if we get that far today. Go into the dimensions, the details of the mizbeach. So here we start. Ata ben Adam Hagid Espes Yisrael Esabais. Hashem is speaking to Yechezkel. Pretty much we're finished. Okay, so we finished describing in very great detail the tzura of the Beis Hamikdash. And now Hashem says to Yechezkel, I've shown you the image, the vision of what it's going to look like. I want you now to relate, to give over this vision to Klal Yisrael. But here it says something very unique, at least according to the parish of the Mitzudos, and according to the Malbim, it's a little bit different, but according to the Mitzudos, Hashem says to Yechezkel, I don't necessarily want you to tell this to Klal Yisrael unless they're really interested in knowing. Isn't that amazing? Because almost every nevuah we have in the whole Tanakh, it's tell it to them whether they want to hear it or not. You have no choice. They have to hear this, even though they don't want to hear it, and they're going to try to kill you for saying it, and they're going to ignore you. They have to hear the words. Eventually, the words will percolate. They'll percolate in their minds for generations until they'll wake up and appreciate the depth of what I'm telling them. Here, Hashem says to Yechezkel, only tell them when I'm about what you've seen, only if they really want to know. And if they don't want to know, so don't waste your time. How do you know if they really want to know? If when you begin to mention what the Bayis Shlishi looks like, you can see if they're ashamed, if they become, if it causes a reaction that they're embarrassed for their sins, the sins they've committed in the past, and if they feel ashamed for what they've done that caused the Chorban of the Bayis Rishon, that is a telltale sign that they're interested in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. But if they don't show any signs of shame, any shame, it goes to show they really don't care about the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore don't bother wasting your time telling them this message. Let's see, Atav and Adam Hagid, relate, as space Yisrael, as Abayis, tell them the vision that they've witnessed, the Bayis Shlishi, V'kolmu me'avoinoi sehem. Now according to the Mitzudos, the word V'kolmu means, and this conditional, it's conditional that they are ashamed of their sins. Only then should you proceed, umadudu es tochnish, should you proceed to describe the measurements of tochnis. Tochnis is a very powerful word. It means its form, its image, its dimensions. The word tochnis really captures the entire blueprint, the essence of the base HaMikdash. Let's see the Mitzudos David, Pasuk Yud, Es Habayis, Es Sibur Binyan Habayis, Shari Isa. I want you to relate to them, I want you to relate to them the story, the vision of the Bayis, Shari Isa, V'yikolu me'avoino sehem, L'man yiyeh lohem kalima, so that they shall experience shame, Al ha'avoino sh'asu. When you begin to relate to the Bayis Shlishi, they're going to experience shame for their sins. When you begin to tell them what it's going to look like, the bias of the future, they will remember the bias that was destroyed by avoinam due to their sins. They'll feel ashamed for what they have done. Then here are the key words of the Mesukan. Then you shall calculate in their hearts. Don't draw diagrams, he says. Don't draw diagrams, and rather they'll calculate in their hearts. Medidas habinyan hamuchan umesukan, the measurement of the binyan that is prepared and musukan, and then go further to tell them exactly what it's going to look like. Now let's go further. One more pasuk to really bring out this point. Pasuk Yud Aleph. The im nichlemu mikol asher asu. you're going to begin to relate, you're going to call them together, you're going to tell them, I want to tell you, I had a vision. I had a vision of what the Baya Shlishi looks like. So right, and when you're going to begin to tell them this, they should, hopefully, as it says in the previous pasuk, they should immediately be filled with a sense of shame. The shame will be noticeable on their faces. Then continue to relate to them, describe to them what it's going to look like. But if you, Yechezkel, see only the imnichlemu mikol asherasu, only continue to proceed and express to relate all of the dimensions, if you see that they are ashamed mikol asherasu, all of their sins, then can you continue to describe to them? Now, he's a very long, complex pasuk, the tzura sabayis, the tzura usuchuna, so its essence. Umo tsa'av is entranceways, umo va'av, we'll have to see the mitzvah, a precise translation of these words, the motza'av, umo va'av, v'chol tsunosav, three different expressions, the motza means the entranceway, the passageway, the tsura, the eskol chukosav, all of its laws, v'es tsurosav, again it repeats this word, the tsura, v'chol toirosav, its laws, hoda, oisav, make it known to them, uchsoiv le'enehem, put in writing everything that I have shown you, and the Yishmeru and they shall guard, as it's called Surasai, it's Sura, Vyaskol Chukosav, Vyasu Oisam, and they shall one day come and rebuild the Bayis and build the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, let's see the Mitzvah Stopasig Aleph, Vim Nichlamu, Ritzon Lamar, Betchilas Sipa Re'e, in the beginning of the Sipa you should see to it, Bifnehem, in the Esahi Kishi Yizachru, Bibinyan Harishain, Hanecha Ba'avainam, you shall see that if when you mention, when you relate to them, the Bayis Rishon has been destroyed. Look, if Yikolmu Mikol Hamasim Haroi Masharasu, see if they are ashamed of their sins. Now, here's really the main word, Oz. That word in the Mitzudos David really speaks volumes. Only then, if you see that when you begin to describe to them what the Bayis Shlishi will look like and they are filled with a sense of shame, Oz. Only then are you permitted to proceed. Oz, then. Then go and continue to describe them in very great detail what it looks like. But let's say their faces are harder than rock, and they do not know shame, they don't know from shame, do not continue to speak, to relate to them anything about the Beis Hamikdash, period. Now let's just finish up the mitzvah. We'll discuss in more detail. Tzura Sabayis. What are all these words in the pasuk? The very lot of words. Tzura Sabayis is Zerat Tzura Bechlola. This is a general image. Ki ilu toima sheyia bo heichol ulam ubeis kodesh hakadoshim vachatzeros ulashochais utzlaois v'toim. This is the basic tzura, which includes there should be a heichol and ulam kodesh hakadoshim. There should be courtyards. There should be the four lashochais. There should be utzlaois. Utzlaois means the toim. Okay, the tzlaos usually means the toim. So that's the term. So the tzlos means, I'm not even sure what the word tzlos over here means. It means the sides.
Yeah.
It means the different dimensions. I'm not sure how I'll hear what even, because sometimes the word selah is used differently in different places. It probably maybe just means, I don't know what it means here. Let's leave that out. Usechuna soy. What does that mean? Mechoin amidas kolechad. Very interesting word. Okay, very unique way to understand the translation of the word usechuna soy. It means it's proper mokoin. Okay, you have this word throughout Chazal, Tanakh, and here, very, very unique how the Mitzudas wants to fatay the word Suchu Nasai. Everything is beautiful, but it's only beautiful in its environment. Okay, you can take the most beautiful thing, the most beautiful, let's say, a dining room table, right? You go to a furniture store, you buy a dining room table that costs $10,000, $20,000, and you bring it home, you bring it to a place, you bring it to Chavis, you bring it to some a yeshiva dining room, and you put... Right, a yeshiva dining room where there are mice running around, and the ceiling is peeling, and the light, every other bulb on the ceiling doesn't work, and there are things hanging from the ceiling, and you take a dining room table that cost $20,000, and oh, look at that, we got a donation, someone donated from their estate a table, we need another table over here, so we'll make this for the seniors. Only the 12th graders can sit at this table. Does the $20,000 table is it beautiful in this environment? Nothing. It's totally meaningless. It can be beautiful, but if it's not in its right place, it has no value. Likewise, everything about the Beis HaMikdash is stunning. It is priceless. However, it has to be in the right place. If the Mizbeach is not in the right place, it's meaningless. If the Shulchan is not in the right place, it's meaningless. If the Ulam, the Heichal, every single thing, it's an amazing idea. Usechuno sohaifataychus, that means Mechoin Amidas Kol Echot. Everything is fantastic. That's the Tzura. The Tzura includes all different parts. But every part must be in the proper setting. Es HaKol Osa Yofeh Bi'itoi. There's beauty in time. Things, there are events that happen in time. It has to be the right time. Timing is everything. Just like there is time, there is space. Beauty is in time and beauty is in space. Beauty is relative to its environment. And that is the deeper meaning of the word Usechuna Soi. It's Mechoin Amidas Kolech Kilu Uktoimar Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim B'Ma'arav. The Kodesh HaKadosh is only beautiful when it's in the west. V'acharav HaHechol. And after the Kodesh HaKadosh was the Hechol, then the HaLashachos V'Hatzla'os. Then we have the Lashachos of the different chambers, V'Hatzla'os, whatever that means, Mizeh U'Mizeh U'Chadoimeh, period. Next words, U'Motzav U'Movav. These are two words which simply mean the same thing. It means it's entranceways. Midas ha-pesachim she-yotzim u-boim derech bohen. It would appear to be that it's the same word, the same reference, but the word moitza means exit, and mova means entrance. Now, isn't that interesting? If you were writing this pasuk, what would you put first? If you were writing this pasuk, you would put first u-moiva off, the entrance way, and then the exit. Isn't that the purpose of the base of Mikdash, to come in, not to go out? Yet, what does it say? It says over here, first u-moitza, to go out, and then to go in. So my high. So this indeed is the big. This is an old var once toy from the Meshech Chachma. What's we have? We're going back again. This after Parashas Tetzaveh. It fits very well to Parashas. Well, it really fits very well with Parashas Truma. Truma. It says that there's really a contradiction in the pasuk. The pasuk on one hand calls it a Mishkan, on the other hand calls it a Mikdosh. So what is the difference between a Mikdosh and a Mishkan? So there are many, mm-hmm. There are many interpretations. There are many interpretations as to the difference between the two. But the most basic, but one approach is a Mishkan is the place where Hashem is resting His Shechina, and from there the Shechina goes out to the world. It's a passageway of kedusha, of spirituality. Hashem is shoychin. Hashem comes to rest in this location, and from the place. Not working that microphone. Make it louder.
It's very slow.
Is it better? Is it? You need to turn up the volume.
Better.
Let's hear you.
Okay, so it's. The Mishkan is a place where it goes out. The Shechina rests in this bias, and from here the Shechina, it spreads, it disseminates. It's going out. What's going out is not the person. It's Hashem's Ruach HaKodesh is going out. But on the other hand, it's also called a Mikdash. A Mikdash is a sanctuary that we, Kodesh, we set aside. It's a place that we create, we build for us to come and to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a place for us to go. It's set aside, meaning that it's holy. It's holy, but every so often we want to connect to that holiness, so we come, we enter. So the Mishkan represents the fact that the Shechina is going out to the world. The Kedusha is spreading to the world. And Mikdash represents the idea that we come close, we enter, we arrive. So here we have two words. The two words, the order is the motz of the going out, umova of the going in. If you learn that it refers to a human being going in and going out, you would expect it to say the other way around, umova of, to go in and then to go out. But if you learn that it refers to the spiritual nature of what it's about, so the word, it's correct. Motz of relates to the Mishkan element of this structure, which goes out, and Mova of refers to us, the human beings, who come to connect. We come to this location. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any of these openings that are restricted to exits or entrances? I mean, it seems that any of these serve both.
Both entrance and exit. So you're saying sometimes you have in a building, you have an emergency exit.
Yeah.
It's only meant to leave. Only then you have ways to go to a store. This door to go in, and this door to go out. Right, so if that's what... you say you're making a very good point. In the Beis HaMikdash, Yitaka don't have this. Let's take that step back. There's a possibility later on that when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you enter on one side and you leave on the other side. Which simply means that you go on the north, you leave on the south. You come from the south and you go to the north, and you leave on the north. Is that so? Maybe you're right. Then it's an interesting idea. Is that you're right?
That only means that you shouldn't exit the
same. Semeg, but is the hakpada which way to go? I don't know. But for each person, it's relative. Each person, though, you can say for me, it's relative that this door is the entrance and this door is the exit.
Says that the chassanim and aveilim went against the crowd. They went from the north.
On the other side, but it's every person is not allowed. But for every individual, you're not allowed to leave the same entrance from which you've come. So you should not become too familiar. So in a Chanani, even though maybe for the Hamoinam, each entranceway served both as an exit and an entrance, but for the individual, each doorway was only one way. That's an interesting point you're making. In any event, it's interesting over here we have these two words, and that's the way the Mitzvah translates. It translates the first word to mean an exit, and the second word to mean an entrance. And it's curious because then you would assume it should be the other way around. And with our explanation, we have an understanding of why, because we have to remember that this structure is both a Mishkan and a Mikdash. The Mishkan represents Hashem's relationship to this location. The Mikdash represents our relationship to this structure. And when it comes to Hashem, Hashem is going out. Hashem is resting and He's spreading His Kedusha outward from that focal point to the world. And from our perspective, we're going there. We're entering into this Makom to connect to this Kedusha. We meet up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So indeed, it's not so far-fetched why it's not so difficult, why it says it in this order. Next, v'chol tzuraisav. What does this mean? The tzuras kol cheder v'cheder. So over here, the mitzvah over here is coming to explain the difficulty, the repetition. It said already the word tzur before in the pasuk. There he types the word tzur to mean b'chololoi. B'chololoi means there's going to be an ulam, a heichel, l'kodesh hakadoshim, l'shachas, tohim. There's going to be tzalois. There's going to be all of these things. Now when it says the word tzurasav the second time in this pasuk, it refers to the detail. What exactly did the kodesh hakadoshim look like? What were its dimensions? What was the height? What was the wall? What did the walls? Was it gold? It was three layers. It was gold, wood, it was stone, gold, wood. Interesting. There were three layers. Each wall had three layers of these things. I discovered recently the Ramchal. You know this name of the Ramchal. He wrote a sefer, a kuntres, a little sefer on the Bayis Shlishi. It's called the Mishkan, Mishkanei Elyon, Mishkanei Elyon. It was discovered recently. He wrote this little. He wrote over 90. We have today from the Ramchal about 90 svarim. The most famous being the Mesilas Yesharim. That's what it says. Derech Hashem also wrote the Mesilas of the Rav Chaim. Did he also write the Ramchal Derech Hashem? I think he did. Right, that was said more so. Derech Hashem and the Mesilas Yesharim. The Gros said that if I was alive at the time when the Ramchal was alive, I would walk from where he was in Italy. He lived in Italy. The Ramchal, where did the Gros live? Vilna.
Vilna.
I would walk by foot to sit by the feet of the Ramchal. Can you imagine how much he worshipped that for the Gros to say?
He said that in
Until Sisharim, there's not one. Now, one extra word. Until Sisharim Perak. He said the whole thing, I think, until the end. He said it was.
Until
Perak what?
Perak
Dal. How many Perakim are there? There are a lot more Perakim. There are a lot more Perakim. So just for the first few,
to
Perek Dal, there's not one missing word. The language, that extra word. The language is the perfection, the totality of perfection. That's what the kavod. I don't know if there's any other person in this world upon whom the Vilna Gaon bestowed such kavod to say such a thing like that he would walk. He would walk all the way from Vilna to Italy to be under to serve him, and to say such kavod about his farm, and yet. the Ramchal was persecuted. He was driven out of town. They burnt. A lot of the things we do not have from the Ramchal. Can you imagine what we lost? They burnt. They destroyed most of his writings. Most of his writings, because they thought that he was another Shabbosai Tzvi. They really thought he was another Shabbosai Tzvi in the making. He was banned, and he left town, and he became an optometrist. He would grind lenses. He worked in an optometry shop to go and cut the lenses for people's glasses. That's how he made parnasa, and it's spooky. I mean, the Vilna Gaon said this about him. You could imagine. You could even begin to be masochistic who he was. So we have today. It survived, even though he was persecuted for whatever reason. We have over 90 Sfarim. The most chashuv is the Mesilas, the most noted, the most that we know about is the Mesilas. There are many, many others. They recently found in a private collection of one of his students a kuntres, a manuscript. This probably that goes back not that long ago, probably goes back before the 80s. Maybe goes back 40, 50 years when they discovered this until it was printed. A manuscript. One manuscript written called Mishkanei Elyon, authored by the Ramchal, and it took time to discover who the Ramchal actually was the author of this manuscript, because he refers to it in his other writings that we do have, and his cross references, and it was proven that indeed this is the Mechaber of this manuscript. Of this manuscript is the Ramchal. So 1980, it was printed. It was printed with a critical, critical edition. We typed and printed and explained. And I think the one who said, if I read correctly, the one who influenced that it should be printed was the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was very. He found out about this and he pressed very hard that it should be published. And indeed, it was published. And there he goes through the whole Beis HaMikdash and he explains Alpi Kabbalah. Alpi Kabbalah, the significance of every little detail of the Bayis Shlishi, and someone came along. I don't have this. I'm sure you can probably go buy this in the Sfarim, so they probably have a Kol Kisrei Ramchal. I'm sure by now, someone put out Kol Kisrei Ramchal, something like that. I've never seen, but someone I did come across, someone a real Breslov Chassid, he took it and he translated it. It's all Kabbalah. He translated it. And it's like a little conscious, and he works as part of an institute in Eretz Yisrael that promotes the awareness of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not exactly sure who he works for. He published it, and I skimmed through very quickly. I understand nothing it says there, even though it's in English. It's all way out Kabbalistic things with numbers and spheroids and what this refers to. But at least I walked away after skimming through it in appreciation that every single little detail, according to the Ramchal, represents major concepts in the world of Kabbalah. And just one thing that struck me there is, like it said, he goes into very great detail the fact that the walls of the Bayis Shlishi, it's not just the Bayis Shlishi, but the Bayis Shlishi, Bayis Shlishi also, there were three layers. There is stone, there is wood, and there is gold. It's not just that. Right away, they know that triggers a thought, because the Mishkan was also covered with three layers. There was the Urias Izim, the Urias the Urias of the material. What that's called the Oihel of the material. The Argamon Talashani Sheish Argamon, the four different materials that was woven to the second layer. And then there was the third layer of the Atzei, the Tachoshim, the Me'orois, then the skin hides of the Tachash. So you see, and there Chazal Takadarshni, Mamari Chazal, explaining you the significance of why they would have three layers to cover the Mishkan, the goat skin, the wool, the linen, and then the hides. So he goes to town. Well, now in the Bayis Shlishi, the walls have three layers: stone, wood, plated with gold. What is all of this about? And that's just one teeny little detail. As Kedarko, the Tohim, he always goes to town. What are the Tohim? The 33 Tohim. Why it's like this? Why it's like that? But at least there's an appreciation of all of these things. It's not a simple matter. Interesting. This is called Mishkanei Elyon from the Ramchal. The whole, all the influence of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we actually have it in print. The Chol Tzura Sav Tzuras Kol Cheder V'Cheder. Next, V'es Kol Chukoy Sav. Now, what does it mean back in the Mitzudo Sav? What is it over here? The Chukoy Sav. What does it refer to? Masha Roy Lishtamish B'Chol Cheder V'Cheder. A new interpretation. What you're supposed to do? What takes place in each one of these rooms? We have these Lishchois. What exactly did they do? Interesting, we did not learn about what they do. We only learned about one Lishka. It says that they ate kachim, they stored, we learned a little few things here and there. What actually took place in these different chambers? V'chol tzuraisav, tzuras hapituchim shi'al hakiros, the images, the engravements upon the walls. V'heim hatimoyrim, this refers to the palm trees. The Akruvim, remember we had the picture, there was a palm tree in the center, flanked by Kruvim. Each one of the Kruvim had two heads, the head of a human being and the head of a lion. All of these things are very mystical, and that's what it's over here, the word Tzurosav, the third time. It says the word Tzurosav, Tzura, three times in this pasuk. It says in the beginning, Tzuras, Habayis. Then it says v'chol tzuraisav, and again it says v'chol tzuraisav. Lefi the shita of the mitzudah stav. The first time is the general things. There is an ulam, a heichal, a kodesh, a kadoshim, a tal, lishkois, and psachim. And then the second time refers to the tzur, refers to what each one of these things look like, its dimensions, the unique features. And the third time it says tzuraisav, it refers to chukosav. The third time it says tzuraisav is the image that was etched onto the gold, that was the gold plates, the tamar flanked by the kruvim. Three different tzuraisav stuff. Then when it's the whole Torah itself, mekayim amidas hakohanim ba'am. So this is amazing. When it says the Torah, it refers to where the people stand. We until now learned where when it said the word tichuna, the tichunaisav refers to where these objects are positioned, where these buildings are positioned, where the lishachas, where's the kodesh, the west, east, v'chulu v'chulu. Now when it says Torah itself, means where do the people stand? Okay, people also are very important. I once told you this. This thing is that it was once a tufa. I don't longer see this anymore. I don't read those newspapers anymore. But they used to advertise two competing schools. I'm not going to say names. If you want, you can probably figure it out if you remember. There were two schools competing for students that advertisements. And one, and obviously they have very big marketing. You know, marketing today, you know, marketing is a big business. Big business marketing. And they had two marketing firms. And this, they both, big multi-million-dollar institutions, and their advertisements were always placed side by side in the same publications, trying to appeal to students, recruit students. And one institute, they showed buildings, they showed the Beis Medrash, they showed this building, they showed that building. And the other institution, they showed a student. A student. No buildings. They just showed a student with a big smile, with a quotation from the student. Two very different techniques. Buildings versus look at our facilities. We have such beautiful facilities. And the other institute advertised students. Different techniques. What each to some people that appeals, some people the building has appeal. One thing I always joked about is how come they don't show the professors and the teachers and the rebbeim? why isn't that used as part of the appeal to recruit students? You can't have pictures. They have plenty of men to choose from. Plenty of men. And the publications where they were putting these advertisements were not in the Haredi press, so they could put women there. So that wasn't the problem. So interesting what you choose. So here we have
marketing.
So I guess they feel either the student has an appeal or the beautiful building has an appeal to the students or the parents who are going to send their children there.
Who knows who the teachers are?
You don't know who they are.
You don't know who they are? Well, if they're famous personalities, I think both of these institutions, there are very, very famous people, which would appeal to students. Come study by this so-and-so. I don't know. So here you have in this pasuk, Hashem was the ultimate marketer. Hashem covered both grounds. He didn't leave anything unchecked. he described Yecheskel the Tichunoy Sof, that is the buildings where everything in the buildings, and he also showed the people. Where do the Kohanim stand? Where do the Levim stand? Where do the Yisraelim stand? We have Yecheskel was a good marketer. He is a good marketer. He knew what he was doing. Yes, Toyosav Mekoyim Amidas HaKoyhanim VeHa'am. That's also important for the people who he's speaking to appreciate. It's not just a building. It's a place for people. It's a place for people to come and to participate, to be part of the service. You know, today I had this discussion. I argued this point with someone in a heated debate, is why today we don't build shuls like the olden day. In the Orthodox community, does not exist today to build a magnificent shul like was built years ago. Years ago, they built these magnificent shuls like the Bialystoker, like all these shuls in the Lower East Side, all over the country. What?
City shul.
Exactly. So why today is there no, today when they build new shuls, they build very nice, don't get me wrong, the shuls cost millions of dollars. But generally the shul, no one's building today these magnificent shuls that can hold 1,000 people, 700 people. These shuls from time ago, but even the beautiful shuls, you build today the most beautiful shul today, how do you look at it hold? It holds 200 people, 300 people. Okay, that's Hasidim. But let's talk about over here by the little shoyla. What?
They don't have the membership. The building across the street, the East Midwood, cost $1 million to build in 1920.
Okay, and how much is that money today? Would that cost to build a shul like that today?
7-8 million for sure.
More even, probably more than. Okay, let's say it's $10 million today. So you don't see today, people. I mean, it costs a lot of money to build a building, but you don't see the scale. So I argue, so they told me, I argue because today we live in a generation where people want to participate. In years ago, I'm just guessing, years ago, you had a shul that can hold 1,000 people. So who got to lane? Who got to daven for the omelet? You had a professional chazan, and that was Zehu. Who was the Balkriya? They had one Balkriya. That's it. This is Zehu. There's a rabbi. Break off minyanim didn't exist. This concept of break off minyanim 100 years ago did not exist. Oh, we have six minyanim. We have a seeking minyan, an hashkam minyan. Then we have the young married minyan. Then we have the children. Then we have the regular shul. Then we have the stam people don't want to daven in the regular shul. Then we have the svardim, and then we have a nusach svard minyan. You go out of town. There's like 20 minyanim in one shul. It didn't exist such a hasaga to do something like that years ago. Why? Because today people have a need to participate. I also, what?
I think it's because there are so many more shuls per square mile.
Why are there so many more shuls per square mile?
You just said it yourself. Besides that, let's
forget about them. Let's ignore the Svardim and the Chassidim. Let's talk about the regular people. The regulars. What?
So let's put... Everybody has their
no, no. Okay, so let's put aside the Svardim and the Chassidim. Let's just put from the people who have the same Nusach. People have a need. I see this. I've seen this quite a bit. People have it. It's in different communities. We're out of town also. I've gone three places that I've gone. People today have a need. They have a desire. A desire, maybe it's a need to participate. I also want to daven for the Omer. I also want to lane. I also want to be able to say a Dvar Torah. Yeah?
You know what? Besides that, there are yeshivas. So most of them found them in the shuls from 60 years ago. Where they couldn't daven for the Omer.
Right. Okay.
But
okay.
Today you have the...
So they can. Okay. So you say years ago they did not know how to. They needed a professional to do it for them. That is correct. That is today. So today they can do it themselves. But so what? You come to a big, isn't there a concept called Berov Am Hadras Melech? The answer is, yes, there is. But there is still a need. A person has a need of satisfaction to participate. It's a very healthy thing. So it's not such a terrible, I don't think it's such a terrible thing today. As I was my argument, the other people, they were, you know, old timers. Much older than me, and they're complaining.
You see a shul like that? Go to Savannah. Beautiful big shul, everybody does.
You just give a couple of years, it'll turn into flappish. Give them a couple of years in Havana. It'll be the same. Savannah will be the same. It'll be the same thing. It'll also, as soon as there can be a breakaway minion, once you reach a threshold of 30, 40 people, that's it. That's it. That's what happens. That's the way of the world today. Why? And people are struggling. They're struggling to understand. But Barov Am Hadras Melech. Why don't you have some appreciate to come to? You know, everyone should be together. There's a need. People want. You know, you can't be a macha. You can't be a gabai. You can't be a gabai. You can't push your weight around.
I actually know a shul where there's too many volunteers for the omer.
Yeah, there are. There are.
Send some to my students.
No, there are. No, there is. There is such a thing. I'm telling you. It's only the reason why there are no volunteers because if they know they can always do it. Once you appoint a chazan, this is the one that's always going to daven every single psychological problem. This is the one that's going to daven every tefillah from today until we throw them out. That's it. The shul is finished. Everyone's going to leave. They're going to leave in droves because I also want to daven. Even though, yeah, you want to daven. So how come when I ask you to daven, you don't want to daven? All right, as long as I know I can, that's enough. And it manifests itself. Look, let me tell you, the chashuv times to daven. Let's talk about the yomim noiroim. You cannot get in this neighborhood of a person. I want to daven. I have a nice voice. I want to daven. I mean, I'm talking to some person. I have a nice voice. I want to daven musaf on the yom noiroim. Flappish. You think you can get a place to daven musaf and flappish in every single shul over here? Impossible. Every single shul, there is someone as a chazaka, is possessive. This is my shtel. I daven musaf. What?
A lot of them are hired.
Right.
Not, no. I don't. They're hired. Yeah. Very few. Only when you want someone really, 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 really good.
No.
Hired? Yes. I don't. I'm not aware.
Sure.
In the big shuls, maybe. Wait.
No, it's
the
they hire just to avoid that problem.
Maybe they do. But there are people that are so possessive, even to lane, to blow shofar every little thing. You know, you're part of a shul. I'm whatever. So people who have moved away from this neighborhood and have now, time has passed, and they literally have nothing to do with the shul, with the little shul, because they live in Lakewood and the other, who knows, some, yet they come back for the Yom Narum to Lane, just to Lane. Why are you coming back? Go Lane where you live over there. Over there, they'll let me lane. There's someone else who lanes. But you've been out of here for 15 years. You haven't stepped into this community for 15 years. I come for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, get to lane. And for how many people? For 30, 40 people. Wow. It goes to show people really that they're possessive of the little things. People have that need. So here we have something very interesting over here. He writes, V'chol Torah Sav. You have to remember, Yecheskel is trying to appeal to the people. He's trying to tell the people, there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. There's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be rebuilt. It's every word over here is not a light word. There's a lot of repetition. He says here the word v'yes toyrei sof. If the pasuk would not say toyrei sof, we wouldn't blink. There's already so many words here in this psukim that we would be more than satisfied in describing the Beis HaMikdash. Yecheskel adds into the mix. He adds here one little word, which to me, I don't know, to me it means a lot. Maybe other people doesn't mean anything to it. He writes over here, Torah Yisav, Mekoim Amidas HaKoyhanim V'Ho'am. Yecheskel says, you're going to participate. We're not just going to be a Bayish Shlishi and you're going to go watch. Build Bayish Shlishi, you can watch it online. Who has to go to Meiron anymore for Lag Ba'Omer? You can watch the whole thing online. It's much better, in fact. It's much easier. Who has to go to all these programs? So who has to go to the Aguda Convention? It used to be, when years ago, the Aguda Convention, people used to run. It's like Shabbos. Used to go rent apartments in the neighborhood to go to the Aguda Convention. Who needs to go anymore? People, you want to hear the speech. Yeah. Mitzvah Shabbos. Mitzvah Shabbos. They still get a big crowd. Because why? Because they give the luxuries that they give now is ain't a doymet to what they did before. Years ago, they didn't accommodate people. You want to come, you're going to pay big bucks. Now they'll take you for free, not for free manish, but they will solicit people to come because people don't want to come. Why do they want to come? I can watch it online. I can go watch the whole thing in the comfort of my home online on my smartphone wherever I am, And if I don't like the speech, so I can just turn to the next channel.
The big names are gone also for my good.
What? That's another issue. But even if you will have big, let's say Lu Yitzuya, theoretically speaking, you'll have some big people who you really want to hear what they have to say, people that really draw crowds. Do you really want to go? Not necessarily. I can watch them live online. I can see it clear. I can hear it well. I can relax. I can go to the refrigerator and go to the bathroom. And if I don't like what they say, I could just change a channel. It's a very, very big problem. That's what it is. This is a fact. So therefore, over here it says no. When you come to the Beis Hamikdash, you're going to participate. If they ask you to speak, then you would go. You wouldn't stay home, right? You would go. So here Yechezkel is telling Klal Yisrael, I'm showing you not just the beautiful Beis Hamikdash, I'm showing you the people. I'm showing you the Kohanim, the Levim, the Ha'am. I'm showing you there's going to be participation. So therefore, you're going to want it to be rebuilt for real, because you're going to want to participate. It's your place. It's not a lightweight word, the word Torah Yisaf. Next, the Yishmeru. Vehem Yishmeru, they will go, next, call it Varma Eila Kesob Bifnehem, Laman Yilmdu Bo. You shall put it in writing. Now this is something that is very, very fascinating. Fascinating because if it's being put in writing, it doesn't belong in Yecheskel. It belongs in Ksuvim. Okay, well, everything, what's the fundamental difference between the Sifrei Nevi'im and the Sifrei Kisuvim? The Sifrei Nevi'im were never things that were meant to be written. There was no writing. This is what, when the Navi said his words, did the Navi know that his words would be recorded for posterity? Not necessarily. Hashem delivered, because in fact, the fact Chazal said there was at least 1.2 million Nevi'im. And each Navi gave over some very important information which has been lost from us. Why has their words not been written? Because their words are not relevant for today's society. The words are relevant for the... It was not necessary, it was only for that time. So therefore, the Nevi'im, the only Nevi'im whose words are relevant for today were put in writing. When a Navi, when Yechezkel, Yeshaya, Yirmiah, the Treyasa, when they said their words, did they know that the words they're speaking to the people was going to be relevant for us sitting here in this room today? In the secular year 2017, did they know that it would be relevant? Look, there was 1.2 million Nevi'im. They also were preaching. They were also very holy people. They also said words that are very powerful, eloquent, meaningful words. And the people that were listening, obviously, it was important, but maybe what they said had relevance for us today. No. Hashem decided that it was not relevant for today, so it was not recorded. So yet, what we have was indeed put in writing. But did they know that? Not necessarily. I don't think so. And it was said. So here, and anything that was meant to be preserved was not part of the Sifrei Nevi'im. That's Sifrei Kisuvim. That's why even though you have a Nevi'im like Yishlomo HaMelech, he wrote Mishle, he wrote the Megillos Koheles, he wrote, what else did he write, Shlomo? So why is that part of Sifrei Kisuvim and not part of Nevi'im? Shlomo was a greater Navi than Yechezkel, no doubt about it. Shlomo was way before, he was a much greater, has to be that he was a greater prophet than these Nevi'im. So why his books? What about who else? Even David, Tehillim. Okay, David was even greater. And where is David's Tehillim? David's Tehillim is in Ksuvim. The answer is because even though it was written with the highest degree of Ruach HaKodesh and prophecy, Isplachmariya HaMe'ira, if you can say such a thing, was meant to be preserved in writing for all future generations. So here we have a shocking revelation in this pasuk. Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, I want you to put this in writing. So therefore, wait a minute, if this is supposed to be put in writing, this whole section of Yechezkel, starting from Perek Mem, should be ripped out of this book and should be put in Ksuvim. Article got it wrong. Okay, it doesn't belong in this volume, it belongs in Ksuvim. So what happened? What's going on over here? So obviously this Nevuah has two dimensions to it. Mitzad Echad, it's obviously it's a Nevuah, it's it's words of prophecy which are relevant just in the fact that it's being said and it's being heard at the time when the people are listening, and we should hear it, we should pay attention to it like Nevuah as well, but it's also a record, it's also a Sefer, it's a unique section. This section of Sefer of Sefer Yecheskel is unique in many in this respect. The only parallel you have, you don't even have a parallel to this. The only thing you have to this is, the only thing you have, I think, similar is Eicha. Eicha, but it doesn't say Eicha is not written in Sefer Yirmiyah. In Sefer Yirmiyah, Hashem reveals Sefer the Kinois, which is the first three parakim, and then there was an initial parak, the fifth parak.
The
first one was burnt. So it's described in great detail what happened, how the whole thing came about, but not one word of Megillas Eicha is recorded. Is recorded in Sefer Yirmiyah. So where is it? Oh, you want to know? We wrote it down, and it's part of Kisuvim because Hashem told it to me, not as Nevuah. It's Nevuah, of course, but it should be the written word. Therefore, it's a written word. We're going to put it in right away. It's part of the Megillas. It's not recorded in the Sefer Nevi'im. Yet, look at this. Look at this. It's the same thing over here. Hashem in this pasuk. This pasuk concludes. Question concludes that we have that it's going to be put in writing. You shall put it down. I lost the place here. Give me one moment. You shall write it down le'enehem, in front of them and in front of their eyes. Yes. Uchsoiv le'enehem. You shall write it down le'enehem. Period. So this is something that is a unique feature of an idea to dwell upon, to pay attention to, a very unique section of Nevi'im, where mitzad echad it's Nevuah, but mitzad sheni it's a Megillah describing exactly what the Bayis Shlishi will look like. And in fact, there's another Megillah, this is part of the, what's it called? It's called the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha, is that what it's called? The books, the Sifrei Chitzonos, that did not make it into the Sifrei. There's a Sefer called the I forgot what it's called. They found it together with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And Chazal talk about it. The Chazal mentioned what? Not Ben Sira. Ben Sira, that's a different type of that's a different type of Sefer Chitzonim. That's a different. I'm talking about that's a modern Sefer Chitzonim from the time of the Amoraim. I'm talking about from the time of Tanakh and a Megillah. I forgot what it's called. The Megillah space, Megillah Mikdash. I don't know what it's called. It's a Megillah that describes what the Bayis Rishon. What the Bayis Rishon should look like. Supposedly, it was authored by David or by God. When David and God, they selected the Beis HaMikdash, they bought the property from Aravna HaYevusi. It was revealed to David the blueprints of the Bayis Rishon. Just like what Yechezkel here records the blueprints of the Bayis Shlishi. What we call the Bayis Shlishi. It was recorded, it was revealed to David and God HaChoizeh. The blueprints of the Bayis Rishon, and David or God or the Nevi'im at that point in time, they put it in writing, and it was passed down to Shlomo HaMelech. And when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bayis Rishon, he used the blueprints that was given to him by his father David. David laid the foundations, and David set everything up, bought the material, whatever. He set everything in ready to go, but Shlomo actually built it. Shlomo, how did he know to build it? So some will say, Ruach HaKodesh. Shlomo had with him also prophets, and he was a prophet, and they built it according to Ruach HaKodesh. But some learn, in addition to his prophecy, did not take away from his prophecy, he had a blueprint. Who gave him the blueprint? David. And that was recorded in a Megillah similar to basically the last few prakim of Megillahs of Sefer Yecheskel. Yeah. Just like we have over here Yecheskel, we have over here the details of the Bayis Shlishi. There was a similar Megillah. Why is that not part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh? It wasn't. That was a decision made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They left out many books. There are many books that were left out, but not because of this. See, the New Testament, they include in it many books. They include in it, I don't know much about this, but Rav Shneur Lyman, he gives a lot of lectures on this. They included in the a lot of things of kafira, outright apikursis mitchilosav yatzayif tkfira, and they made changes, but there are also some books that they put into this new thing which is not kfira, which are part of the sifri chitzayim sfarim, which are good, which were written by holy people. Just it did not reach the level where the Anshei Knesset Hagdola felt that it deserved to be part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. What? The canon. It's not part of the canon, and therefore, as far as we're concerned, they were not studied, and we discouraged studying them because we have enough what to study, and they fell to the side. They fell to the wayside. But these books, so he's a very big expert on this from a Torah perspective, of Schneur Lyman. He's probably one of the biggest experts on this from a Torah perspective to these Sfarim, to understand what they're all about, which ones are authentic, which ones Chazal did not ban, and which ones are mamish straight out, stay far away, it's apikorsis. And one of these Sfarim is a Megillah that records the Binyan Bayis Rishon. And in fact, what was a major, one of the biggest discoveries, I think it was the biggest discovery in the Dead Sea Scrolls, you can read all about this online, or you can read it, or Schneur Lyman, he gives a lecture, is they found this in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found this Megillah. They found the Megillah that describes in very great detail what the Bayis Rishon should look like. Now the problem is there are some discrepancies there. There are some things there which don't exactly make sense to us. So does that mean that this Megillah is corrupt? Maybe the whole Megillah is not authentic? Or maybe it's just like in Sefer Yechezkel, Chazal said they wanted to put Sefer Yechezkel in Geniza because they did not understand everything that it says. They're going to learn soon some things were totally off the charts, don't make any sense. Mamish Kneged Kol Torah Kula. Yet Chazal, they broke, they burnt the midnight oil
to figure out
what it means exactly. So maybe when it says in those Sfarim by the Megillah, but it is an incredible find, and they have it today, this Megillah was part, and look at this, over here you would expect, if you write L'chora, these prakim should have wound up the same way that Megillah, which Chazal referred to that Megillah. That Megillah is referred to. We don't know if what they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls is the Megillah that Chazal referring to, but we do know for sure it is mentioned in Chazal that there was a Megillah. There was a Megillah that was given by David to his son Shlomo, describing the blueprints of the Bayis Rishon. That we do know for a fact that it did exist. If what we found today in the Dead Sea Scrolls is exactly that Megillah or a corrupted form of that Megillah, that we do not know, but it does exist. And here you have this amazing idea in this pasuk Sevlei Neim that it should be written, and L'chora referring to Perek Mem to the end, it should be put away in a separate sefer. Somehow it was attached to Sefer Yecheskel in the Nevi'im, and it's not part of Kisuvim. Okay, next words of the Mitzvah, the Shamris, now it's for the fourth time the word Surasai. Okay, the fourth time of the Surah of the Mitzvah, Shamris shall guard him, Yeshmu Bilibam, they shall guard, look what it says, Bilibam, in their hearts. So isn't that amazing? It says first, write it down. Diagram, it should be written in words. But then it says, when you want to guard it, you shall remember in your heart. Think about it. Think about the dimensions. Kol tzuras habayis bichlalo. So he learns here the fourth time it says the word tzurasai in this pasuk. It's referring to the general description, not to anything. So basically, it's the same thing like what it said before. The first time, was the general. The second time was the specific image of each individual structure, and the third time was the what was etched on the walls. Here it says, "You shall guard in your heart the general description." Is kol chukosav masheroy lehistamish b'chol cheder. Now here's a new term, something that is new that we did not have yet. The word chukosav, what to do. Okay, what though he we did? I'm sorry, we did have that before. We had it before. What to do with l'shtamish? Mash roel l'shtamish chol cheder, l'shtamish chol cheder. V'oz yizku la'moid b'tchia, and then you'll be married tchia samesim. V'yasu oisam l'asu, you'll be married tchia samesim, and you will come back and be resurrected in the future. You'll do it. V'asu oisam in the future. So the word v'yasu oisam refers to techiyas hanesim in the interpretation of the mitzudos David. This pasuk is
so
one.
Won't be a blueprint in the future. These guys will do it from memory.
That's the it's the contradiction. On the one hand, it says chosov leinayim, write it down in front of their eyes. But v'yishmu belibav. That's what I'm asking. I don't know the answer. We have two dimensions. And where is this recorded? It's recorded in Sifrei Neviim. So there are three dimensions. It's nevuah. Nevuah is something to hear. Then we have writing down, which really belongs in Sifrei Ksuvim. And then we have a new gedder called v'yishmu. What does that mean? How does that fit into the mix? And if you'll do all this, you'll merit Chiyas HaMesim, and then you will be able to Chiyas HaMesim L'Asalavo. You will do everything that is described here in these last three Perakim. It's a very, very long Pasuk, okay? And obviously a lot of information is being relayed. Let's see Rashi. Rashi is much more Makatzer. Pasuk Yud, Atav and Adam, Hageit, Espeis, Yisrael HaSabayis. Describe to them everything I have shown to you, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kolmu, May Avoy Noseihem, Behar Osi Lomo Chasti, they will be put to shame from their sins when I show to them my kindness. She'eni Mo'asam Ba'avaynam, I do not detest them because of their sins. Rashi, you don't have that in your edition? Motsasi, you don't have that in your edition? Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. I'm going back to Rashi, Pasuk Yud, with the two psukim. You have that in the Rashi?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So therefore, they will be put to shame when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals, the Klal Yisrael that Hashem will give them the third Beis HaMikdash, and they will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no complaints against us. Hashem is willing to give us the Bayis Shlishi in all its glory. Obviously, Hashem has no complaints against us. So then we realize we've been so foolish. How could we have rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We are put to shame. That's the ultimate Gehenin, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to you. It's good to you, and you feel the shame. How could I have been so foolish, undeserving? That type of shame in many respects is even worse Gehenim than if Hashem, than the fire is of Gehenim. Because fire Gehenim, you say, "No, I deserve it. Okay, no, I got what I deserve." But when Hashem gives you, so kind to you, and look how I have behaved. So it's like the Namo de Kisufa. The reason why the Hashem created this world, Ramchal, going back to the Ramchal we started with today, the Ramchal. The Ramchal, you don't even realize that our Hashkafa today in the 21st century, it's all traced to the Ramchal. If not for the Ramchal, we would be lost. All of our, the basic principles of Emuna, Olam Haba, the purpose of creation, Schar v'oinesh, tzadik v'ralo, all of these things that you don't even realize that these hashkaf that we have today, the one who really brought these hashkafas out in clarity to Klal Yisrael was the Ramchal. And if not for the Ramchal, we would be finished, dead in the water. We would not be able to.
Somebody else.
We hope. I mean, Hashem, but it was through him. It was through him that it was revealed to us. The basic principles of Emun, and one of the basic principles of Ramchal, this is like Ramchal, the Aleph Beis of Emun, is why did Hashem create this world? What's the purpose of creation? Mystery question. There's no really good answer. But the basic that we rely on, we find comfort is Hashem wanted to be mative. Hashem's nature is to do good. He wanted to bestow upon man kindness, to give a creature, his creatures, pleasure. So why didn't Hashem just take his creatures and bring them directly into Olam Haba? Is then the creature would not enjoy it. It would feel ashamed. Hashem, you created me and you're bestowing upon me all of this blessing. I don't deserve it. What did I do to deserve this? We would not be able to derive pleasure from the goodness that Hashem, our Creator, has bestowed upon us. Therefore, Hashem created this world, a world of Hester Panim, where Hashem's presence is not obvious, in order to put us here, in order to be challenged, and to serve Hashem in Hester Panim, and thus earn, through living in this world, and doing Torah mitzvos in a world of Hester Panim, we earn our passageway in the next world. Then when we come to the next world and Hashem gives us what He intended to do from the very beginning, we will not feel the shame. We will not be embarrassed. It will not be what's called the nahama, the bread, the kisufa of shame, of embarrassment. This indeed was the chait of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, what was his chait? So everyone will say his chait was he ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's not correct, because there's a rule. Avera goyreres avera. There's a rule. Every time a person does an avera, it is just an outgrowth of doing a previous avera. Every time a person does a mitzvah, it's an outgrowth of doing another mitzvah. Well, what did the Chofetz Chaim say about Rav Meir Shapiro? Rav Chofetz Chaim says, I'm not mekaneh him for the daf yomi. He had this schus. Many people want, you know, it's not such a complicated idea to make a daf yomi for Klal Yisrael. I'm not mekaneh. He was the one who suggested the idea at an aguda convention in front. They didn't even want to let him talk. I think it was Chofetz Chaim. He was very young, and they didn't want. They didn't. I don't remember the whole details. They didn't want to let him speak. But I think the Chofetz Chaim was the Ger Rebbe. It was Chofetz Chaim, the Imre Enes. I don't remember the details.
The Chofetz Chaim told him to come in after everyone. Oh, needed.
The Chofetz Chaim Bedavki coordinated. He wanted and he manipulated the proceedings that he should get a lot of attention to present the idea. And maybe people will accept it. If the Gedolim will accept it, then it will spread. So it worked. The Chofetz Chaim worked. So the Chofetz Chaim said about him, I'm Amish, and look at his schus. His schus, Klal Yisrael was mekabel to learn Daf Yomi. I'm not mekaneh. I'm mekaneh the mitzvah that he did that led to this mitzvah. In other words, if he had this schus, he must have done something else. Mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. What was the mitzvah that he did before this, that in that sechus he had the siyata d'shmaya that he was able to do this? And then you could ask the question, and what was the mitzvah before that? Where does it go? Okay, Einoch Naya, but you got to go back. So Adam HaRishon was choyte v'chayt Eitz Hadas. Right, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Wow, what a terrible sin. He listened to his wife. Hashem said, "It's also the Nila." That was that. What was the first? But what was the chait that was before that? So the Mefarshim say, "Adam v'Chava v'yihyu shneihem arumim v'lo yisbo shashu." They were not ashamed. Yeah.
It's not the crime; it's the cover up.
It's the cover up. Ooh, very good. Very, very good. They were naked. What does it mean naked? What does it mean naked? Naked still means no clothing. All right. Ein nikel yitzei midei pshutai. Okay, but Rabbi Yisai, naked means something much deeper in Chazal. It means the at eroim, the area in Mitzrayim, you were naked from mitzvahs. Feresh Chazal. So Adam v'Chava, they were in Gan Eden. They were erumim. They had no mitzvahs. Zero. They were just enjoying Hashem who created the world to be meitiv, to do good to man. So here He created Adam and Chava. Hashem is being meitiv. They didn't earn it. They were Aram. They were free riders. They were on all of the government programs. The Ribbono Shel Olam provided every government program you could imagine. They had everything available to them. Everything. So what's the problem? V'lo yispo shashu. They did not feel the shame. We didn't earn this. We don't deserve Social Security. We didn't work. we never contributed.
They didn't have the ability for that emotion.
Oh, that's the problem. So it seems from the Mefarshim that they did have the ability. That's what they say. Yeah, that will be mine. The Mefarshim. Look at the Mefarshim. Yeah, yeah.
How you just?
Because it's natural. It's all part of man's DNA. Hashem created a human being with a koyach of busha by shanim. Rachmanim, goyim lechassadim, it's built into man, this nature, Adam HaRishon, certainly, it's built into the creature, into the human being, the nature of busha, and the Adam, the Chava, were in Gan Eden, they were eroim, naked, no mitzvahs, v'lo yispo shashu. They did not feel shame in enjoying the good of Gan Eden. That was a very grave sin. That sin led to Adam eating from the Eitz Hadas. So now you're going to ask the question, so what was the sin that led to v'lo yispo shashu? I don't know. The Mefarshim don't necessarily talk about that. I don't know.
But
at least going back, at least we do go back one level. Here it's the same thing over here. Hashem, when he builds over here, when Hashem over here is going to build, telling Klal Yisrael, look, I'm going to give you a Bayis Shlishi. I'm going to be so good to you. It's going to be beautiful, magnificent. You're going to, the Mashiach's going to come. And Klal Yisrael, they're going to basically say, look at that, we're mole shame. In one way it's good, and one way it's bad. Why is it bad? Why is it bad? They're going to be put to shame that we don't deserve the Bayis Shlishi. We've been terrible sinners throughout the generations. We have failed to achieve our role. And look, Hashem is giving us a Bayis Shlishi, Geula, Mashiach, power, peace, v'chulu, v'chulu. So it's not pleasant. It's a Gehenim. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be a Gehenim for us. Because we... it says over here to some degree, even whatever it is, it's going to be a Gehenna. I think Mashiach is going to be fun when Mashiach comes and all the bracha comes upon the world. We don't deserve it, but yet this itself is the ultimate tikkun, because we're going to go back to the same nisoyon as Adam HaRishon Koidem Achet. Adam HaRishon Koidem Achet was Eroim Vilo Yisboi Shashu. When Mashiach comes and Hashem's going to give us the Bayis Shlishi and give us infinite bracha, Nochamal is going to be, we're going to be Eroim. We're naked. We don't deserve this. What merit do we have to enjoy the blessing of Mashiach Olam Haba? But it's not going to be like Adam and Chava Vilo Yisboi Shashu. It's going to be the Yikolmu. We're going to feel the shame. So you see that when Mashiach comes, indeed, we will achieve the purpose of creation. V'kolmu me'avoinoi sehem. Just the fact that we're put to shame, me'avoinoi sehem, takes us back to the cycle, to the haschola of the bria, v'lo yisbay shashu, taka. Now, we're yisbay shashu, we're taka, we feel the shame. Adraba, Hashem, the world, the purpose of this world has been achieved. You have something and you feel shame for it? Wonderful. That itself gives you the right to deserve what I'm bestowing upon you. Let's finish up the Rashi very quickly. Umadutu es tochnis, you'll measure the tochnis. So umadutu Rashi, umadu al yodecha, sha'ata moira es toichen cheshbein habinyin. Okay, the Rashi is silent, does not tell us the deeper meaning of the word toichen. As we said before, the Mitsudos has a very deep inside word toichen. Toichen means where everything is, it's environment, it's position. Toichen means where we're going to put it. Where is exactly is the location of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi is just silent. Rashi just uses words. The Toichen, you Yechezkel will measure for them. You will teach them. You're going to be the teacher. You're going to show them exactly where everything is going to be located, that binyan. Which seems to say, Rashi, what you're saying is that you can read all you want. You can put this in writing and you can read all you want. If you don't have a teacher to explain to you what it means, you are in the dark.
Oh, that's a weird experience.
Lo hevanti bezek klum. Rashi said, I don't understand one word that it says over here. I've had that Rashi at the end. Okay, then the pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, we're not going to have time. Yud Aleph goes into much more detail. Okay, we'll have to leave this for tomorrow. All right, at least we had that good vart of lo yisper shashu. Pick this up tomorrow. Okay, we're going to continue. We'll take a short.